period, all forest landowners in Oregon will be on 100% ad valorem tax system, except if you make an affirmative election, if you're a small landowner under 5,000 acres, to be taxed under a new special deferral program. Final point I'd like to make is that the bill that was vetoed previously this session, House Bill 2452, which dealt with people who own land that's not zoned or classified as forest land, who don't enjoy the tax deferral that the privilege tax was intended to make up, were being assessed a privilege tax anyway. That was what 2452 was designed to correct. That bill was vetoed. House Bill 3575 includes in it the essence of House Bill 2452. Those folks will get their tax relief and relief from double taxation, and there's no phase-in or delay for that. That'll start immediately at the beginning of the next tax year.
Are there questions?
Chairman.
Mr. Harkins.
Only to say that I certainly support this type of measure as we try to grow our natural resource-based agriculture wood products. The best way to do it is to take away any tax burdens that are unfair, and I think we have taxed them unfair. I'm ready to vote for this.
Thank you.
We'll hear what the next witness has to say.
My name is Terry Lammers. I'm the State Issues Coordinator for the Oregon Small Woodlands Association and a small woodland owner myself in Polk County. I'd like to concur with everything that Ray Wilkerson said. He did a very good description of it. The Oregon Small Woodlands Association supports this bill. We were there working to develop the bill. It's a great bill, and we do believe that forest land should be taxed like other property tax for lands and other properties. Therefore, we encourage your support for this. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Glenn Harris, you signed up in opposition? No, you haven't. You just said you don't live more than 100 miles from Salem.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tom Lynn Harris. I'm the Columbia County Assessor, and I'm here today representing the Oregon State Association of County Assessors. The association does not have an official position on the bill, for or against. I just wanted, for the record, to point out a couple of concerns that the association has, and hopefully these concerns can be addressed during the interim as we expand the study of these issues and probably develop some legislation for the next session. My first concern has to do with effectively the loss of the privilege tax revenue that's currently used as an offset to tax rates for the general government districts that use this money as an offset. They will be held harmless, obviously, because as you take away the offset, the rate will simply float up to the permanent rate under Measure 50, which will allow the taxing district to be held harmless. What it will do, however, is raise the rates for all other property owners, and despite Measure 50's assurance that taxes will only go up 3% a year as we phase into this new system, those property owners will see their property tax bills go up more than 3% a year as the rate flows upward due to the loss of the privilege tax offset. I just wanted to point that out to the committee. My second concern has to do with those properties, both on the east side and the west side, which effectively can be used for either farmland or forest land. On the west side, you have up to 20 acres of forest land that can be assessed under the Farm Use Specially Assessed program. On the east side, you have rangeland where, because the trees are so sparse and so spread apart, land can effectively be used for both the predominant purpose of growing timber as well as grazing. Under the provisions of House Bill 2452 that's been folded into this bill, those lands, if they're now being assessed as forest land, subject to the privilege tax, what an owner could do if they're sophisticated enough and understand the system well enough is they could elect to go under the Farm Use program, which means their assessed value would stay relatively low, comparable to what it is now, and still avoid the privilege tax as opposed to going to 100% forest land value and not paying the privilege tax. There could be a method for a number of property owners, both on the west and the east, to maintain their low property tax bills that they enjoy today while still escaping the privilege tax. unfortunately, there's no easy answer to that problem. Well, there's a simple answer, but it's diametrically opposed to what the proponents of the bill are trying to do. But hopefully, through some administrative fixes during the interim, we can address those issues and figure out a way to minimize those impacts. But again, I just wanted to get on the record on behalf of the association that we are extremely concerned about those two issues, and we've worked well with RFIC in the past, and we'll continue to work well with them, and hopefully we can find some solution to these problems. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there questions? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on House Bill 3575? If not, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3575. Open a work session. House Bill 3575. Senator Hartung moves to... Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Hartung moves the dash 10 amendments. Senator Hartung?
I do.
Thank you.
I thought you knew. I do.
Yes. For better or for worse?
Yes, right.
All right. The dash 10 amendments have been moved. Is there discussion? Is there objection? If not, the amendments are agreed to. Are there further amendments? If not, Chair would move House Bill 3575 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Beyer. Senator Hartung.
Aye.
Senator
Starr.
Aye.
Senator Wells.
Aye.
Senator Miller.
Both tie. House Bill 3575 is passed, as amended, is passed to the floor. We'll close the work session on House Bill 3575. Now open up a public hearing on House Bill 2112. Do we have a sign-up sheet on 2112? I can advise those who wish to testify today that we have a floor session that starts at 10 o'clock, and I, for one, will be there at the start.
Are you saying the committee?
So,
why would you spend your time sitting there on an empty floor?
I'm not going to answer. Mark Seeley and George Brown. Welcome.
Good morning, Chair Miller, members of the committee. My name is Clark Seeley, and I'm the Assistant State Forester for Administrative Services for the Department of Forestry.
I am George Brown, Dean of the College of Forestry at Oregon State University and Director of the Forest Research Laboratory.
House Bill 2112 establishes the Forest Products Harvest Tax rates for Oregon State University Forest Research Laboratory and for the Oregon Forest Practices Act for the calendar years 2000 and 2001. The proposed rate for harvest tax for each year are 67 cents per thousand board feet for the Forest Research Laboratory and $1.08 per thousand board feet for the Oregon Forest Practices Act. The bill addresses both taxes. Forest Practices Harvest Tax portion of the bill supports 40% of the program costs of the Forest Practices Program, and the other 60% comes from the State General Fund. Proposed rate is an increase from the previous 2 years, primarily driven by a reduction in harvest levels across the state, principally on federal lands. Today, we recommend your approval of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, the only thing that I would add to Mr. Seeley's comments is that for the Forest Research Laboratory, this proposal simply keeps our funding level flat at the continuing service level, does not add any new dollars for new programs. Research is a priority for the landowners. Oregon Forest Industries Council, the Oregon Small Woodlands Owners Association, and the Farm Bureau support this. And as Clark mentioned, simply this increase simply provides an offset for the decline in the federal harvest. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions? Senator Wild.
This is for Mr. Yates. In your revenue impacts for state government, this is above and beyond what we would otherwise get, or is this what we will get? In other words, in the 2001-2003 biennium. that an actual reduction, or is that an increase that is less than the increase that would be in the 99-2001, Mr. Chair? And the you have to sort of keep in mind the way in which these taxes are imposed. They're not permanent taxes. They're imposed each session. And they're imposed on a calendar year basis. So this tax is imposed for the next two calendar years. So it's part of the revenue accruing to each of these agencies for the first 6 months of the biennium comes from the rates that were in effect, current year rates. The other 18 months, then, is funded by the increased rates that you have here. What carries over into the next biennium, then, is not a full biennial fund.
Okay. That's fine. Further questions? Thank you both very much for your testimony.
You.
Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on House Bill 2112? If not, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2112. I just advised the committee that we'll go into work session on this bill at a subsequent hearing. Given sometimes the lack of follow-through in the center of this building on certain issues, the chair is willing to wait for the ink to be dry on some things before we proceed with bills that might be important to others. So, we'll not go into work session on House Bill 2112 today. We'll open up a public hearing on House Bill 2045. This would be great. We welcome you.
Mr. Chairman, committee, I'm Mike Miller, Executive Vice President with Associated Oregon Loggers, and we're here today to talk to you about the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2045. Some of you may recall that a couple of sessions ago, the Oregon Legislature did see fit to pass a law providing for exemptions from personal property tax on logging equipment. At that time, this was all logging equipment used in the state. As it turned out, the governor did not see eye to eye with us on the bill and vetoed it. Since that period of time, I think all of us, at least in the logging business, know what a tough time we've had economically, and now we have the addition of the listing of numerous species of fish, and we see additional requirements for logging technology, logging rules, and that sort of thing. So what we've done in working with the governor is to try to come up with a bill that provides an incentive to transfer logging equipment to the newer, more environmentally sensitive types of equipment that are out there. As it turns out, the economic conditions haven't changed all that much, but in working with the governor's office and working with Associated Oregon County, what we've come up with is a bill that would provide exemption for logging equipment that is less than 8 years old, with our expertise being that that newer equipment is environmentally sensitive by virtue of its design and use. And in addition to the 8-year-old equipment, there is one type of equipment primarily called skyline logging systems that has the capability to suspend logs over the ground and over streams. That particular type of equipment would be exempt regardless of age. This bill would provide that type of tax exemption for a period of 8 years, at which time it would be sunsetted. This would allow us time to see if, in fact, that type of incentive does provide for a transition to this newer equipment. As I mentioned, the governor has worked with us, or his staff has worked with us on this bill, and I believe they are in support of the way it's put together at this time. And so with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. I think maybe Gil had a mixed comment, too.
That'd be fine.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Gil Riddell, Association of Oregon County Staff.
A quick explanation about where we are on this bill. It's been a pleasure to work with Mike Miller and Rick Storm, the loggers. AOC does not support this concept, but does not oppose the Dash 4 amendments under the circumstances. We are convinced that property tax expenditures are an outmoded pre-Measure 5 approach to incentives and subsidies. These expenditures no longer shift the tax burden, but they, in effect, cost essential public services, including such things as the extent of public safety patrols and enforcement. Interestingly enough, the troubles that are besetting the industry are virtually the same as those besetting county government. So we're pretty much in the same boat. So we're not real well placed to provide these incentives. But as I say, under the circumstances, we will not oppose Dash 4. My final point is that how the discussions proceeded with the governor's office on this bill was an example of a flawed intergovernmental partnership between the governor's office and local government. There was no acknowledgement of the impacts on counties and special districts of this bill, in spite of having nearly a million dollars in play of local general government money. There was no notice to counties and special districts about these discussions. We had to find out this information for ourselves. And as I said, it turned out to be a pleasure working with Mike and Rex. And so under the circumstances, we will step aside and let it proceed.
Another question? I guess what I hear you say is that you're going to just allow this to happen, although you're struggling here with the perceived negative impact to counties who provide essential services. Did it ever strike you that the problems besetting the industry would shove many to the brink, many to extinction? And recognizing that fact, how is that helpful to counties?
Well, Mr. Chair, that's precisely why we don't oppose this. Understand the way the property tax system works, as you well know. The primary beneficiary of an employer is, in terms of public revenues, is the state through income taxes. We find that if the state chooses to use property tax as an incentive, often the primary flow of revenue that results from that, which is a positive thing, flows to the state and not to local government. So it's an issue of intergovernmental finance more than anything else. If there were a way to share both the property tax and the income tax between the state and local governments, it would stabilize the system a good deal. And we'd like you to explore that at some time in the future. At this point, if you choose the property tax system as your principal incentive, what you're doing is drawing resources from one level of government and increasing resources to another, or centralized government. In effect, how it works.
Appreciate that. All right. Mr. Campbell, you got something you want to add?
Mr. Chair, I'll relegate myself to window dressing in the interest of time. Now, Mr. Chair, I would like to thank the Chair for hearing this bill and thank Senator Wilde for working with us on the Dashboard Amendments, too. We think this incentive will help us make that transition and hopefully keep a viable industry out there.
Before you go, are you all aware of Dash 5 amendments? Senator Yee is here. He has additional subjects he wants to attach to this, so I ask you to sit close, and Senator Yee will be happy to have you come up and
these are good amendments.
If you hold this agreement apart.
My thought is this would have been put in Dash 4.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm State Senator Mayhew representing Senator District 19, consisting of portions of Lynn and Benton counties. I'm here today to ask for your consideration of adopting an amendment, -5, in House Bill 2045. This amendment, is, Senate Bill 908 that passed the Senate by a large margin. It went to the House and referred to House, Business and Commerce Committee. Because of lateness of the session, the committee is closed. When I asked Speaker to open the committee, she said it might be easier if I try to amend one of the bills here, so that the bill will still, have a chance of passage, instead of her opening up the committee. That's why I'm here. Senate Bill 908 has to do with disclosure of gas taxes. And I believe people need to know, and the Senate, when it passed the bill, believe that people need to know how much gas taxes we pay for each gallon of gas. There's no fiscal impact. The gas station dealers say they will volunteer to provide a decal that will show the amount of state, federal, and city taxes. And they can just use it as a sticker and put it on their cash registers. This is a very easy way to let people know how much gas taxes they pay. And I think it's important consumer information, and hope the committee will favorably support the amendment.
Thank you, Senator. I was discussing up here with our council that this bill relates to forest product harvest tax.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It deals with gas stations, but I'm told that legislative council has
has to do with House Bill 2045.
Oh, I'm on the wrong bill. Well, that's good.
Oh, well.
Let's try ear relating.
Taxation.
Yeah.
Relating to taxation.
Yeah, one of those nice tight relating clubs.
All right. Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you. Could I?
Yes, Senator Wild.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When Senator Yee first approached me on this idea, I didn't see that it had a whole lot to do with the dashboards. However, the dashboards don't necessarily have a tremendous amount to do with the original bill either. And considering the votes that could probably be coming forth on the -4 amendments, I thought the -5s would probably be right in line with that same vote. So those who would vote yes would still vote yes, and those who would vote no still would vote no. So I thought it was a pretty good mesh.
Are there other comments from members? Any of the principal sponsors, backers of the bill?
We're on to secondary sponsors to the bill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the members of the committee, I guess the relating clause that it's actually this bill was introduced along with the same components as 2045 on the House side, but it too was amended and had all kinds of different tax measures hung on it, to the point where it was it sank to the bottom of the pile, so to speak. I understand the disclosure thing here. It's obviously not related to what we're talking about at all. So.
Does it cause you any heartburn?
I don't know the politics of this sort of thing, but I wouldn't think not. I mean, it would be nice to know what you're paying when you go to the gas pump, that's for sure.
If you want to incorporate the...
It has to change it all the day.
First we allowed that, we wouldn't have the highest gas tax or gas prices in the United States. So. Okay, well, we won't discuss that. So thank you, Senator Yee, unless you have...
Is the camel coming?
No. Okay. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on House Bill 2045? Now we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2045. Open up a work session. House Bill 2045. Recognize Senator Wild.
I'll just give it a shot. I will move the Dash 5 amendment to HB 2045. I'm moving the Dash 5 amendment.
Fine. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, the amendment is agreed to.
I will move the Dash 4 amendment to HB 2045 as previously amended.
Senator Weil moves the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2045. Is there a discussion? Objection? Hearing and seeing none, the amendment is agreed to. Senator Weil?
Move HB 2045 as amended for its due pass recommendation.
Senator Weil moves House Bill 2045 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. Is there a discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Hartung.
Aye.
Senator Starr.
Aye.
Senator Byrd. Vice Chair
Wyatt. Aye.
Chair Miller.
Votes aye. House Bill 2045 is passed to the floor, and we'll close the work session of House Bill 2045. Senator Wild.
I suppose I shall carry it.
Thank you very much. Dash 4 and Dash 5. We'll now open up a public hearing on House Bill 2114. Mr. Craig.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for having a hearing on this bill. House Bill 2114 is a bill sponsored by the Oregon Board of Forestry. It basically extends a 15-cent harvest tax to provide assistance to non-industrial private forest landowners in this state. It is part of the department's base budget. There are no additional funds beyond what are present now. It extends a sunset date for the Western Oregon Small Tract Optional Tax and the Reforestation Tax Credit, and it eliminates at the end of the next biennium, I'm sorry, in January of 2002, a current 25,000 board foot exemption from the harvest tax. During the interim, the Department of Forestry is going to examine harvest tax issues, and one of the issues, this simply puts that onto the plate of issues to be discussed during that period of time with this exemption. And in the interest of time, I just would answer any questions that you might have.
Are there questions? Thank you, Mr. Craig. Appreciate your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there anyone else who wish to testify? On House Bill 2114? If not, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2114. Open a work session, House Bill 2114. Recognize the Vice Chair.
I will move HB 2114 to the floor to pass recommendation.
Senator Wild moves House Bill 2114 to the floor where they do pass recommendations. Is there discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Starr.
Aye.
Senator Byrd.
Senator Byrd. Aye. Aye. Vote aye. House Bill 2114 is passed to the floor. We'll close the work session. House Bill 2114. We'll thank Senator Scott for his willingness to carry that bill. Is there anything further to come before the committee? If not, I thank you for your wonderful work, and we are adjourned.